I'm going to wait just a second before I dismiss the kiddos. I want to tell you a story. Did you hear about this this teacher? We're talking about Jesus, the six looks at Jesus. And we started with the baby. Then we talked about Jesus as the miracle worker. Today we're going to talk about Jesus as teacher. So I want to tell you a story real quick before I dismiss the kids. This teacher, she was a kindergarten teacher, and she was helping this one particular student put on his boots. This was up north, and they kind of wore boots and mittens and hats and all that kind of stuff. And she was helping him put on his boots, and she pulled and pulled and pulled while he was pushing and pushing and pushing, and his boots just didn't want to go on. And then finally she got the first boot on, then struggled, got that second boot on, and she'd worked up a sweat, and she looked at the little boy, and the little boy looked up at her and said, "Teacher," she said, "Yes. They're on the wrong feet." And she looked. Sure enough, they were. So she tugged and tugged. And as hard as it were to get them on, it was hard to get them off. And she finally got them off. She switched them around, put them back on his feet, tugging and pulling and pushing. And the little boy looked at her and said, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." Oh, she wanted to pop off at him. And she was just getting frustrated a little bit, so she started tugging. And she took the boots back off. Then the little boy said, "They're my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them today." So she went to tugging and pulling and stuffing them and pulling them back up on. She didn't know whether to laugh or cry. She was just so kind of, you know, what? This is like out of a comic book. She got the boots back on his feet, and then she finished. She said, "Now, where are your mittens?" "They're in the toes of my boots." Don't you know, teaching is sometimes very frustrating. It is frustrating. A couple things I want to let you know before I let the kids go. If you're like me, maybe you've had some good teachers, maybe you've had some bad teachers. And that's the truth, that there are good ones and there are bad ones. And someone had said this one time, "The mediocre teacher tells, but a good teacher explains. Oh, but a superior teacher demonstrates, but then the great teacher inspires." And I pray, and I hope and pray that as we study Jesus Christ as our teacher today, that we don't just hear words, we don't just get a fuzzy feeling, that, and sometimes we don't just see the demonstration and go, "Oh, I can learn from that." I hope that as we study Jesus Christ, the teacher, that we are inspired to do something different. I want to do something real quick. If you are or have been a teacher in our public education field, would you just stand up for a second, please? Come on, I know that. There we are. There we are. There we go. Look at all this. Absolutely. Thank you. Keep standing. If you homeschool, or any homeschool teachers? That's right. That's right. Thank you. And let me ask this, if you are one of our teachers here at Dolan Baptist Church, Sunday school teachers, would you stand up? Ladies, women's teachers, any of that? God, there you are. Look at that. These people, go ahead, that's right, give them a hand. Thank you for what you do. Because we know that it's not just something that you just do. It's a calling you have on your life. And I want to tell you, from me, and I believe I speak on behalf of the congregation, thank you. Thank you that you're answering your calling, that you're passionate about what you do. And I appreciate you, and you're appreciated. Thank you. You may be seated. And I'll go ahead and dismiss our kids now, but I wanted them to see how many people invest in their lives. Even the greatest teachers that any of us have ever had, though, fail in comparison to the greatest teacher ever lived, and that's Jesus Christ. In our passage today is in Matthew chapter 7. Several verses, Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 21. Jesus is speaking, he's teaching here, and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When the rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house. It fell with a great crash. Verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as someone who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Of the 90 times or so that in the New Testament Jesus is addressed directly, when he's asked a question and they address him, or when he's introduced, of the 90 times that he's addressed, about 60 of those times he's addressed as teacher. Did you know that? That's two-thirds of the time. Two-thirds of the time that Jesus Christ is addressed directly, he's called teacher. Jesus himself used the term when he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. That's found in John chapter 13. And Matthew tells us here that the crowds were so amazed at his teaching because he taught as one having authority, not as the teachers of the law, not as one of the scribes. See, these rabbis, these scribes, they quoted one another, but Jesus spoke the true authoritative words of God. And there's a difference. Matter of fact, in his last instructions to his disciples, he told them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything that I have taught you, you go and teach likewise. His last greatest commandment. We call it the Great Commission. And listen, from the time of the disciples, from the moment Jesus uttered those words till even this very moment, thousands upon thousands of missionaries have done just exactly what Jesus said, teaching all nations. And I'll tell you that if the success of the teacher, or if the merit of the teacher is determined by the success of his students, then no greater teacher has ever lived. Because what Jesus taught changed the world. It changed the world. I guess my question would be, has it changed you? Has it changed your life? No one was ever so successful as the only master teacher, Jesus Christ. Today I want us to be not just, see that Jesus was a good teacher. I want us to be captivated by his power as a teacher. Jesus he's almost universally recognized as a good teacher. Most will even recognize him as a great teacher. And even most atheists, listen, even most atheists don't deny the existence of Jesus Christ. And they will say, well, he was a good man. He was a great man. He was a good teacher. He was a great, fantastic teacher. They just don't go as far as to say he was God, or that there is a God. But he was a great teacher. History, has shown that Jesus Christ existed, and most people will say yes. Matter of fact, other religions say, yes, he was a good teacher. Some good things to say. Great teacher. From the very start of his ministry until the present time, those who have listened to Jesus have been amazed at his teaching. And Jesus used some great methods. He used parables, he used object lessons, he used all different sorts of methods. But I want to tell you something, it was not particularly his use of methods that had the greatest impact. And I want you to know this morning that what Jesus taught was more remarkable than any method that he used to teach it. And the theologians, they've studied the methods of Jesus' teaching. They've studied how he did this and how he did that and why he did this and what objects he used. They studied all that, but none of that is as important as what he taught. And in this passage, we read that the crowds were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed because he taught as one who had authority, not as one of the scribes, not as one of the teachers of the law. They recognized what Jesus was teaching had power and authority because of what was in the message. Just what was in that message. Although Jesus gave fresh insight, very often he did to well-known truths from the Old Testament, from the New Tradition, or from the Old Testament tradition. He didn't just rehash and repackage the old facts. He expounded upon them. He said, what you know is this, what you've learned is this, and here's why you've learned that. Here's why that was taught to you, because what you don't yet understand is how that applies to this. And he connected the dots. It was powerful. It was powerful. Jesus taught as one with authority to offer new truth. Not different truth. Nothing that competed or contradicted old truth, but it was something new that people had not yet experienced. One of the final truths that Jesus taught were not completely understood until after his death and resurrection, though. Jesus' act of self-sacrifice was the object lesson to end all object lessons. Only after the disciples watched their teacher die this horrible death on the cross and then rise miraculously from the dead did that final lesson sink in. Even on that day when they came to arrest Jesus and he had told them, I'm going to go, they didn't get it yet until they had seen it and experienced it. Their teacher was the Son of God, the Lamb of God who came to this world to rescue them from sin and from death. And guess what? Just as Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue them from sin and death, he came into this world some 2,000 years ago to rescue you and me today from that same sin and from that same death. Do we get it? Do we comprehend it? And if we do, what do we do with it? Jesus had tried to convey this to them throughout his ministry by making statements like, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. That's Matthew chapter 20. And in Mark chapter 10, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And they heard these words. And Jesus told them this prophetic word very frequently. And they didn't really get it until after the fact. Have you ever learned something after the fact? Have you ever reflected back and go, oh, wow, when I was in the middle of that, I just didn't get it. But now, looking back, it makes sense. I get it. Does that happen to anybody? Okay. It always happens to me because I'm slow, I guess. But I'm in the middle of it, and I'm going, why am I doing this? I don't even know what this is. I don't even understand all this. And then later on, I'll look back and go, oh. Sometimes I just need to be removed from the situation a little bit, right? Sometimes it's I'm too close, and I can't see the bigger picture. But sometimes what it is we don't understand that we're in the classroom. See, Jesus is sneaky. Sometimes we're in the middle of a classroom. We don't even know it until class is over and we look back and go, he was teaching me. He was teaching me. And now I get it. The same was true with the disciples. He had been teaching them and telling them, I must go. I must do this. I must do this. And they were going, okay, great. Yeah, right. But what was next? What are we going to eat? What, you know, they were all concerned with all this stuff. And then later they look back and go, wow. And I bet you they would say this. Oh, if I had only gotten it then, how different I would be even now, because I would have done some things different. I would have spent more time. I would have... Right? Sometimes we're all a little bit slow. And what I've said thus far, I've said to help us appreciate the teaching genius of Jesus. But my hope is it will be far more impressed, not with Jesus' teaching, but with Jesus as the teacher. I hope all of us will put our faith in Jesus Christ and allow him to teach us to be our teacher. And we will call him Rabbi. We will call him teacher. We will call him Lord. I hope that we will allow his teachings to make a practical and profound difference in our lives. Toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said in this passage we read, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock, upon a solid foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." And I will tell you this, that I believe how wise we are when we listen to Jesus' words and we act upon them. And how foolish we are when we listen to the words and then disregard the instructions of Jesus. In this passage, we see that hearing and obeying leads to safety, security, and blessing, and hearing and disobeying leads to disaster and destruction. And what you don't hear me saying is this. You don't hear me saying, you don't hear Scripture teaching us that those who heard and obeyed were blessed, and those who did not hear could not obey, so they did not get a blessing. That's not what it says. Everybody heard. Everybody heard. The choice is not whether you hear or not. The choice is, what do you do with what you hear? I'm going to look at it again. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. The common denominator is they all hear. We all hear. When you come to church on Sunday morning at Dolan Baptist Church, you hear the Word of God. I pray that I never teach you something that's contrary to the Word of God. And if I do, you just beat me up. That'll be nothing compared to the beating I get from God if I'm guilty of that. Hearing is not the question. The question is in the doing or the not doing. Where are we in that? That's where we come in. We hear because God teaches us. What do we do with what He teaches us? In John chapter 13, John tells us that Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go unto the Father. And He wanted to show those He loved the full extent of His love. So He got up from His meal. This is a very touching passage for me. He got up from His meal. He took off His outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around His waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that He had wrapped around Him. And after Jesus had washed all of their feet, He put His clothes back on and returned to His place. And He asked them, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" Then He said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than he who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus was a master at demonstrating the truths that He taught. And as He demonstrated this servanthood to His disciples, He said, "Now, go and do just as I've done unto you. You will be blessed if you do what I've taught you. And I haven't just taught you with words, I've shown you what to do. You'll be blessed if you do them." Folks, the same is true for you and me. Jesus Christ has taught us. He is teaching us. And we will be blessed if we'll do what He teaches us. The question is, what do you do? Jesus summarized this whole lesson. He said, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He demonstrated His teaching. And then in that teaching, He said, "Now you go demonstrate it also. You go demonstrate it also." go do even as I have done for you. There's an old saying, I can't remember where I said it. It's horrible grammar, so if you're one of those teachers and you're an English teacher, just bear with me. The truths of God are better felt than told. The truths of God make more impact when we feel them, when we're actively involved in it, than when we just hear it. Right? Is that true for you? Hello, is it true for you? Okay, guess what? It's true for those around you also. It's one thing to say, Jesus loves you, come to church. And I hope you do that. But it's one thing to speak it. It's another thing to action, to put action to it, to actively involve. To take off your outer garments. Wrap a towel around your waist. Wash somebody's feet. Give them a cup of cold water on the street corner. Take a meal when somebody is grieving. Give them a phone call when God pricks your heart, when he brings that person to your mind. Say, I don't know why I'm supposed to call you. I was thinking about you. Is everything all right? How are things going? I guarantee you, more often than not, you will find somebody saying, oh, I'm so glad you called because I'm having a rough day. I was dealing with something. How did you know to call me? Who told you to call me? If you'll listen, God will do some amazing things. I'm going to close with a story. And bear with me. And if you're a duck hunter in the room, let me apologize to you in advance, because I don't know how to work a duck call. Matter of fact, this is not even a duck call. This is a varmint call that I made some years back. I'm going to try to make it sound something kind of like a duck, but you just bear with me. And there's a parable, this old story about a community of ducks. And they waddled off to church one Sunday morning to hear their duck preacher. And they waddled into the sanctuary. You ever seen ducks waddle? They just waddle around. Well, they waddled into their duck sanctuary, and the service began, and the duck preacher spoke very eloquently about how God had given ducks wings with which to fly. Ducks have wings. Okay, ducks fly. He pounded the pulpit with his beak and he said, with these wings, there is nowhere we ducks cannot go. There is no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar high in the sky. The ducks went, amen, amen. There was just a loud quack of ducks. All they were just agreeing with him. Yes, yes, quack on, quack on, quack on. The duck preacher concluded his message by exclaiming, with our wings, we can fly through life. We can fly. And the ducks just went. And one old duck went. But they were just agreeing with him. Quack on, preacher, quack on. We love it. We love it. We can fly. Yes, we can fly. We're ducks. God gave us wings. Everybody loved the service. And then they all were talking about it. They commented on what a wonderfully convicting message they had just heard from their duck preacher. Oh, then they left the church and they waddled all the way home. Well, no, they didn't fly. They do what we do. I hear you. Why do you have to go and ruin a funny story with something convicting like that? We'll come to church. We'll come to a Bible study. We'll come to Sunday school. We'll come. We'll hear the truths of God. And we go, yes, yes, quack on, quack on. I love it. Yes, that's true. I love that. And then we walk away just the same way we walked in. That's not why a teacher teaches. If you're one of those teachers that's out there and I ask you to stand up, does it frustrate you when you teach and you pour your heart out and you teach a truth, a lesson, and the kids come back the next day and they're going like, what did we talk about yesterday? I hear amens out there. Do you think it doesn't frustrate God when he gives you the truth and he speaks it and he teaches us and we just walk away? Oh, yes, that was good words. but I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to be a hearer, but I'm going to... Oh, wait a minute. He spoke about that, didn't he? Blessed. You'll be blessed if you hear my words and do them. A wise man hears the words and puts it into practice. Those that are hearers and don't put them into practice are like the foolish men. My hope and my prayer is that we would wise up. That we would wise up. That when we hear the truth of God spoken, when we hear the truth of God spoken to our hearts, when we read the Word of God, don't rely on me. Oh, friends, I will let you down. I will tell you that right now. I will let you down. Don't rely on me to get the truth of God. I hope and I pray that I speak the truth of God, but if you're only relying on me, you're going to starve to death. Try that with your food. Eat one meal a week. See how long you're healthy on that. You can't survive spiritually eating one time a week either. You can't survive spiritually eating two or three times a week either. I mean, some of us need to be on diets, and I understand that, but not from the Word of God. Not from the Word of God. That's where you get your nutrients. That's where you get life. Jesus, greatest teacher with the most powerful and authoritative teaching ever given. We must not come to his teaching and waddle away unchanged. His teaching and the power of the Holy Spirit will bring transformation. He'll teach you how to fly. And it's time to fly. Let us not be content with our old lives and our old ways. Let us become fully trained like our teacher. If you or I know that we're not applying the teachings, the truths of what Jesus taught to our lives, it's time for a change. Jesus will teach us if we will listen and learn. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, so deceiving your own selves. We deceive ourselves when we just say, well, it's good enough to hear it, but I don't have to do it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Take the truth of Scripture. Take the truth found within this word and put it into practice. Don't be guilty of saying, quack on, Brother Mike, quack on. And sometimes you may think I'm a quack. That's all right. But don't be guilty of saying, just quack on, man, quack on. I love it. That was some good words. That's some good words. Not going to apply it to my life. Not going to change me, but I like what you said. Don't be guilty of that. Take the truths found in Scripture. Let them ring true in your life and let it change your life. Fly out of this place. Don't waddle back home. Don't waddle to the restaurant. Don't waddle to your car. God has given you wings. He's given you wings. What are wings meant for? They're meant to fly. They're meant to fly. Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher that ever lived, is still teaching today. What is he teaching you? What is he teaching you? But better yet, what are you doing with the teaching? What are you doing with the truths that you're discovering? What are you doing with the truths that God is laying on your heart? That's our responsibility. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, so deceiving ourselves. Concludes the message, but your time with Jesus is not over. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. The altar is going to be open. Maybe you're one of the ones like me, like your pastor, Maybe you're one like your pastor that says, you know what? I really like the words of God, and I really like hearing it. They sound great. I really like it, but sometimes I just don't want to do it. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it just takes up too much time. Sometimes it takes away from my fun stuff. Sometimes it, oh man, the list goes on and on and on. And I will tell you that I'm guilty of that from time to time. And I'm be the first one among you that need to confess that to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent from that. I don't want to do that anymore. Change me. I want to fly. And maybe you're one with me. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to get on your knees. Or maybe you just need to come and get close and stand. Or maybe you just need to get where you are. I don't care. God does. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear you coming back to where He is. He hasn't moved. Maybe you're here and for the very first time, you're saying, wow, you know what? I am going to let the truth of God speak to my heart. I am going to take to heart when God said, I have come to die as a ransom. And I'm coming to replace your debt, to take away your sin and your condemnation, and to make you righteous. And I want that true in my life. Maybe that's you this morning. You say, you know what, Brother Mike? I want to give my life to Jesus Christ because I understand for the first time fully that He has given His life for me, and I'm not just going to hear it, but I'm going to act upon it. Maybe that's you today. I want to encourage you to follow through with that. Whatever you need to do, this time is for you. The altar is open. I'll be standing here. Rebecca will come up, particularly if you're a lady and you don't want to come pray with some ugly old bald-headed guy. That's why Rebecca's up here. She's not coming up here as some person of authority. If you're questioning that, just don't even bother with that. She's my partner. She's my partner in life. She's my partner in ministry. And if we can be of service to you, that's why we're here at this time. Would you stand as we sing a song?